today as we come to the table.
You see, some people, they're 5, 6, 7 years in the Lord. You think, man, this guy's ready for the pulpit. And you see other people that are 20 years in the Lord. You think, you know what? You're still wearing diapers in your walk in God. Why? Because you're not truly a disciple. You're not allowing God to run your life in every area. You still got your talons in what you want. And you still got your hold. You're wrestling with God. He's trying to get you to let go. And he's even allowed you to go through some hard times. But because you're so strong and you're a can-do guy, nothing's going to defeat. Hey, I'm not talking about saying I'm defeated. I'm saying, Lord, I give up my efforts and I turn it over to you now. You do it.
Have you ever met someone that no matter how sick they got or how bad things in their life were going, they never acted like anything was wrong? Sometimes we even look at those people and wish we were able to go through trauma like that. But oftentimes, those type of people end up reaching a breaking point. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark is going to be talking about people who continue to blow through life acting as if they're stronger than God in every circumstance. The truth is, God wants us to come and surrender every situation and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Would you please come and help me? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 32 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
From wrestling to clinging, we take up today finding Jacob in a time in his life where he finally makes the move from wrestling with God to grabbing on and clinging to God. And you know, this is a place that all of us have got to come to. Some of us come to it sooner than others, and some of us it takes a long time. Another way we might say this is going from a place of independence to dependence. You know, it's interesting, we pride ourselves oftentimes of being independent. We hear that a lot, I'm an independent person. And I understand in the world's mindset and really even in a national viewpoint, that's not bad as long as you're not coming under other nations or not trying to come under other nations. But when it comes to a believer, we need to have the opposite. Rather than a declaration of independence for the believer, we have to make a declaration of dependence. And that is to say, God, I depend on you for everything. And I need you to change my life. I need you to allow me to let go so that you can do in my life what you want to do. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, that's a hard thing for me to do all the time. Is to let go and say, all right, God, you're going to do it. I'm going to let you do this, and I'm going to allow you to work in my life. And this is the place where God is bringing Jacob and wants Jacob to learn, you've got to let go if you're ever going to be used by me, Jacob. You've got to trust me and stop wrestling. Stop fighting with your agenda. You know, it's funny. When I came to the Lord, it was like, at that time, it was easy to let go of the world. Now, the only reason I say that is not because I was so spiritual, but because the world had left me so dark. I'd gotten so dark from my experience in the world that when I came to the Lord, I was like, you can have it. I don't want it, man. Keep it for yourself. And it was like, you know, kind of this great thing. All right, I was able to let go of the world, right? But you know what happens? As a believer, you come into the body of Christ, and even as you had certain goals and desires in the world that you had to learn to let go, I found that I brought certain goals and desires in the church. Certain goals and desires of what I wanted for my life. Here's what's going to happen. This will be what will be achieved. These things, whatever. You know what? God can't use us until we let that go. And I'm convinced that even as we have to die to the world when we come to Christ, once we come to the Lord, especially if we feel we want to be involved in ministry, and all of us should, we have to die to what we want in ministry. God didn't call us so that we could do what we wanted in the kingdom of God. God called us and said, you're my servant. And I can remember giving my life to the Lord and saying, all right, Lord, I give everything to you, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go. You remember at that moment of conversion, it's all out there, right? And I still feel that way. But what I found was, and what I didn't realize is that although I said that, I still had my own agenda. I want you to do those things, Lord, but here's how it's going to do. And here's what I'm going to do. And I'll do this and I'll do that. And you know what? You begin to wrestle with God. And you find yourself trying to make your things happen, and this wrestling match begins to take place. And that's exactly what's going to happen to Jacob today. Jacob gave his life to the Lord, but he begins this wrestling match with God because God says, all right, Jacob, you've given yourself to me, but you're not really completely broken. You're not ready to do what I want. You haven't really accepted the fact that you're my servant, not your own. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, again, you think about it, God, you're not using me the way I want to be used, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, really all God has to say is, look, when you gave your life to me, did you give your life to me to be used how you want to be used? Or did you say, I'm giving my life to you, do what you want, Lord. I'm your servant. The problem is oftentimes when we find out the way he chooses to use us, we don't like it. I thought it would be something different, Lord. I thought you would do this or do that. And you know, I think God has to bring us back to a place of saying, wait a minute, who do you belong to? Do I belong to you or do you belong to me? We are simply his property, and he has the right to do with us whatever he wants. And really, we don't have the right to complain, although we often claim that right, don't we? And I speak from experience. I'm not picking on anyone. I go first in line. And so the Lord, again, had to get Jacob to a place where he said, you know what, Jacob, if you're going to be used by me, you're going to have to totally be broken and let go, a place of brokenness. You know, it's interesting. The problem with, I think, a lot of us leaving our independence and becoming dependent on the Lord is we think that we can do something in and of ourselves. Jesus said this to his disciples, you can do nothing apart from me. And I have to ask myself, Mark, which part of nothing do you not understand? And see, here I think is the problem is because God gives us all different abilities and different things we can do. And so what we do is that we take those abilities, and because we can make certain earthly things happen, whether it's get an education or get the job we want or fulfill that dream we were striving for, suddenly we think we can do something. I can do something. Look what I just did. No, the Lord's not talking about that. He's talking about things that last eternally. He's talking about in the spiritual realm. You can do nothing that's going to have any eternal significance apart from me. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I think it takes a long time for some of us to learn that, and I speak of myself, to learn that, you know what, I can't do anything without the Lord. And there's this wrestling match that's going on until we learn that. There's this struggle. And I think sometimes maybe after we've already been defeated in the wrestling match, we still start up again. Because God has to constantly work in our life, you know? It's like you think you're done and the bell rings and it's round two. Well, I'll make this happen. I'll do this. And then God's right there going, stop. You know, it's almost this picture of just, you know, grabbing the shoulders and looking in the eyes and saying, what are you doing? Stop it. You know, I know what I'm doing. I'm serving you. Now get out of my way, right? How many times have I done that? Lord, get out of my way. I need to serve you. He's like, wait a minute. What, you mean I'm in your way to serve me? Well, I didn't say that exactly, Lord. Yes, you did. Okay, I did. Well, stop it. And see, again, I'm personifying thoughts and all, but the point is that's exactly what we do oftentimes. And I know because I've been guilty of it. And here's the bad part. The stronger our flesh and self-determination, the longer it takes to teach us this lesson. If you're one of those people that just, I'm a can-do guy, and I get things done, then God's going to have a hard time ever using you. Because God's got to get you in a place to say, maybe in the world I'm a can-do guy, but I can do nothing without Christ in the kingdom, which means if I'm not in prayer, if I'm not in the Word, if I'm not walking in the Spirit, I am useless. And so we have to realize, do we want to be big in the world or do we want to be big in God, so to speak, and not in the sense of being important, but you get my point. So self-determination, we have to get rid of self and say, you know what, God, it's not about me and what I can do or what I can't do. It's about you. And it's oftentimes in our places that we think we're the strongest that God makes us fall on our face the worst, is it not? Well, why does he do that? Because he wants us to let go and quit being confident in ourselves. Stop being confident because it's going to be me that works through you in this situation. Now, it's interesting when we look at Jacob's life, there were two major phases in Jacob's life. If you want to break it down in two segments, a lot happened. But two major segments. Segment number one was when Jacob gave his life to the Lord at Bethel 20 years earlier. You remember the scene. He goes to Bethel. He has the vision. He gives his life to the Lord. He commits himself to God. It's interesting. Bethel literally means house of the Lord, house of God. Now, why is that interesting? Because it's in the house of God oftentimes where people give their life to the Lord. They hear the gospel message and they say, all right, Lord, here I am at Bethel and I'm yours and I give myself to you. And now they're in the Lord. But the problem is they don't always truly give themselves over to God completely until they wrestle and God breaks them. That yes, they're saved, but they're not in a place where they can really be used. And so they move from the place of Bethel, which is the place of belief, to the place of Jabbok, which is the place of wrestling and a behavior change. You see, his belief changed 20 years earlier. Now his behavior is going to change. I'm not saying that when we give our life to the Lord, our behavior shouldn't change, and it does. But depending on how much of the world we hold on to, our behavior doesn't always get exactly in line with God until sometimes way down the road. And it comes after that place of wrestling. It's interesting. Jabbok comes with the meaning of being tied to wrestling. And so we see him moving from the house of God to being saved to a place of wrestling, the Jabbok, in today's story, where he finally gets set free and says, all right, Lord, you've changed my life and my belief. Now change my behavior. I want to walk like a believer. Have you ever seen people that don't look like they're walking as a Christian? They have just enough fruit in their life to make you think, well, they know the Lord. They say all the right things. They've given their life to the Lord. I know they have. I've seen a change. So you know they're in Christ, but their behavior is still like the world in so many ways that you begin to wonder. Now, there better be some fruit or you may not be in the Lord. You may be just thinking you're in the Lord. You said a prayer and you're not truly saved. But if you truly know the Lord and you're still living much like the world, then it might still be that you're, you know, in the place of Bethel. You're in the house of God, but you've not yet come to the place of Jabbok where the wrestling has been taken and you've been defeated and say, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me as you want. And that's exactly what Jacob is going to come to. And again, because he was so self-determined and so strong, it took 20 years to get him there. Now note this. The Bible talks about, and again, God was moving Jacob from a believer to a disciple. Note that. From a believer to a disciple. Wait a minute, Pastor Mark. I thought that all believers were disciples. Not so. You see, the Bible says that all you need to do to be saved is simply believe that Jesus died for your sins, confess your sins to him, repent of your sins, receive him as Lord, and you will be born again. You are saved. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved, it says in Romans chapter 10. However, there's no requirement for being saved beyond that, but there is a requirement to be a disciple beyond that. Jesus said this, if you're going to be my disciple, you must what? Take up your cross, number one, that is die to yourself, because that was a symbol of dying to yourself. Number two, take it up daily. That means we're seeking the Lord in his word and prayer every day. And then he said, and follow me. You see, we can be saved and not be a disciple. There are no stipulations on salvation, but there are discipleship. God was taking Jacob, a saved man, from just being saved into discipleship. It's time now to grow. It's time to be intimate. It's time to know me in a way that you've never known me before. It's time to grow. And some of you this morning, maybe you're just happy to be in the kingdom. But God's saying, I don't want you just saved. I want you to be a disciple. I want you to grow. I want you to learn. And what does the word disciple mean? Disciple means a learner of. So it means literally to be devoted to denying what you want and following so close and regularly, that is daily, to the Lord that you're always learning and growing in the Lord. That's a true disciple. And so if we're going to be a disciple, that's what we're called to be. You know, it's really sad to me to see believers that have walked in the Lord for years and years and they're still wearing spiritual diapers. You see some people, they're 5, 6, 7 years in the Lord. You think, man, this guy's ready for the pulpit. And you see other people that are 20 years in the Lord and you think, you know what? You're still wearing diapers in your walk in God. Why? Because you're not truly a disciple. You're not allowing God to run your life in every area. You've still got your talons in what you want. And you've still got your hold. You're wrestling with God. He's trying to get you to let go. And he's even allowed you to go through some hard times. But because you're so strong and you're a can-do guy, nothing's going to defeat. Hey, I'm not talking about saying I'm defeated. I'm saying, Lord, I give up my efforts and I turn it over to you now. You do it. That's what I'm saying. So again, God has to get Jacob to this place. And you know what? God has to get us to that place. And I've learned over the years that if I don't go to that place myself and say, Lord, I lay it down, you just take it, God will put me in a position where I have great opportunity to do so. Anxiety, fear, you know, whatever, all these things that begin to come in your life, all these circumstances, these trials, these tests, and God is saying, I'm trying to get your attention to make you let go and allow me to be the God of your life. And you're hanging on and wrestling with me. And so Jacob is about to learn this in a very graphic way. Now, where we last left off, last week, you remember he had fled from Haran. He'd been there 20 years. He had been chased down by Laban. They had the confrontation, and that was the beginning of God breaking him. That was the beginning of the anxiety and the fears and all the different things that God was trying to do to get his attention. And now God's about to turn the heat up even more because that wasn't enough. You see, for some of us, it takes a little bit more heat because we're pretty self-sufficient. We're pretty strong. And God says, I've got to break that before I can now make you usable and do in your life what I want to do. So God begins to turn the heat up. And now we're going to see that he leaves, you know, from the situation with Laban into a situation with Esau that's even worse. Remember, Laban just came chasing after him, not knowing what was going to happen. The last time he saw Esau, Esau said, you're a dead man. I'm going to kill you as soon as dad dies. You're done. And so because you stole my blessing, you stole my birthright, and that's where we take up here in chapter 32 with him leaving Haran now and heading back toward this brother that wants to kill him. Notice it says, so Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Now, I love this because if there was ever a time you would need a visit from angels, it would be right now. You just left from this confrontation with, you know, Laban. Now you're heading toward Esau, who wants to kill you as you're going back in obedience to the Lord. You need some encouragement. And so God now sends the angels here to encourage Jacob. I wish God would send angels to me from time to time. Wouldn't it be great if you knew you saw angels? And so he brings these angels in here to encourage him. And again, this would have been an incredibly encouraging reminder that God was with him in this difficult time. And don't we need that? You know, it's one thing to go through a difficult time, but sometimes we need to be reminded God is with us. Jesus said this, "I will never leave you or forsake you," which means although you may feel like God is not with you this morning and whatever you're going through, he is. And he's promised to be with you. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Maybe the Holy Spirit is reminding you right now, "I'm with you. I see your problem. I know your anxiety. I know what you're facing. You're not alone." And that would have been needed right here for Jacob in a big way, because again, Jacob was concerned about what was going to happen. And it's important at times like this, when we have these concerns, that we learn not to trust our feelings or our circumstances. Note this. This is something that you need to grasp. And if you're a note taker, note this down. There's two things, if you want to be successful in walking with the Lord, you've got to learn. Number one, never trust your feelings. And number two, never focus on your circumstances. These will always sink the Christian. It's the very thing that brought Peter down. Remember when Peter got out of the boat, he was walking on water, doing something he couldn't normally do. He had his eyes on the Lord. He got on the water, he began to trust his feelings. What were his feelings? "This is crazy. I can't do this. I can't walk on water. This is crazy." He started trusting his feelings. And then what did he do? He started looking at his circumstances. "Well, I'm out of the boat and there are waves everywhere and I'm gonna die. Lord, help." And he begins to sink. That's exactly what happens. You know, we did this outreach on Friday, and I really felt in my heart this was a God thing. I've done things in the past, and I think, you know, I look back and I go, you know what, that was probably me. This one was God. I know that, and I saw the fruit of it, and I knew in my heart coming back, God's going to do a work here, and God did a work. But when we got there, we set it up. About 45 minutes into it, this huge thunderstorm comes. And we had all the equipment set out, and it's just, and I'm thinking, here we go, great. We cover the equipment up, run the speakers in, everybody runs for cars. We're like hiding, getting, you know, just this big downpour, right? All the kids take off, and I'm sitting in my car thinking, God, I truly believe with all my heart this is a work now that you are doing, and now they've all been run off by the rainstorm. God, how could this happen? And it was as if God spoke to my heart and said, "No, wait a minute. You know, what are you studying for this Sunday?" That's studying, Lord, don't trust your feelings or look at your circumstances. But Lord, that's for them. This is me, and I'm in this situation. I can teach it, but are you going to make me live it? See, it's easy to teach it. To teach it, all I have to do is study and look up the words and say, point number one, and sound really, you know, oratorical, right? Point number two and all this, right? Then God says, point number three, it's happening to you. What are you going to do? And I'm sitting in my car thinking, all right, I refuse to look at the circumstances. It's raining. I don't deny that. It's raining. Oh, everybody's left. I see that. And I know the circumstances don't look good, because even if the rain stops, we have to wait till everything dries. We have all this stuff, whatever. But Lord, I trust you're doing a work. You're going to do it. Not only did it stop raining, you know, we got out there and began sweeping. A couple of these, you know, wind blowers showed up. We dried the place out. Almost all of the kids came back. Maybe a few of them left, but this huge pile of kids still came back. The competition went on, and kids gave their life to the Lord. Now, again, I look at that and go, now, if I'd have panicked at that moment, that, you know, again, it's easy to do that. You think, God, what are you doing or what's happening here? But you got to remember, we have to learn to get away from our feelings. And I think God allows us moments like that. And I know for me, God allowed that moment so that I could actually live out what I was studying this week. Do you really trust me? Regardless of the circumstances, looks like it's over tonight. As a matter of fact, you know, you know, somebody even said to me, hey, why don't we just, you know, kind of cancel it and we'll just do this another time. And I remember thinking in my heart, no, this is not. God called us here tonight. We're going to stay and see what happens. And I'm glad we did, because, again, we saw people coming to Christ and it was a really great outreach. But the bottom line is that we have to learn not to trust our feelings. And I'm telling you, that takes a choice. I didn't sit there and go, you know, I don't feel like it's going to be, you know, ruined. I don't feel like, I had to sit there and say, I'm not going to trust it. Forget my feelings, forget it, and make a choice to do it. And it's not that, again, I'm so spiritual. Oh, Pastor Mark. No, it's just that I happened to be studying this and it was like in my face and I realized I've got to live this. But I saw God be faithful. And this is how, again, God is faithful to us. And this is what Jacob needed to learn, is that, you know what, I'm there with you and I'm going to be faithful with you in this. Don't trust how you feel right now, Jacob. Don't trust your circumstances. Trust me. And we're going to see that although God revealed himself and sent the angels, that Jacob still has not yet been broken, does not yet fully trust the Lord. And so God's going to carry that out before he's done with him in this episode. Now, notice verse 2, when Jacob saw them, that is the angels, he said, this is God's camp. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim, again, which is the camp of God, or double camp. This is where, you know, I'm camped here and God's camped here too. And that's what we have to realize, that wherever we are, in whatever our circumstances, we're not there alone. God is camped with us. And it's interesting, Psalm 34:7 says this, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and he delivers them." And this should give us great comfort to know that God is around us, and God is the one that's there that's going to deliver us. And it's even greater comfort here, because the word is, when it says God's camp, it means God's host. And whenever you see in Scripture God's host, it means the armies of God. And so what it was, it wasn't just angels, it was angels dressed for battle. These were warriors. They showed up and they showed Jacob, you know what? We're here to be warriors for you. We're here to do battle. We are God's hosts here in God's camp. And again, this is something Jacob is going to need when he finds out that Esau is bringing an army to meet him. As we'll see in just a moment, an army of 400 men. And then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau," note that, "thus your servant Jacob says," note that, "I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now." Notice he calls him his lord, and he says, "I'm your servant." What is the point? He's scared to death and trying to appease Esau. Lord doesn't just mean Lord as we think of as in the Lord Jesus, but literally it means master. Here's what he's saying. "Tell my master Esau that his servant Jacob is coming." He's humbling himself. Now, at first, this might sound very magnanimous. Oh, he's humbling himself. Good for Jacob. And we're going to see that he is humble in a minute due to his fear. But you know what? This is really a lack of trust. God had told Jacob that he was not the servant of Esau, that Esau would be his servant. God had told Jacob that Esau was not his lord, but Jacob was Esau's lord. That is, God had ordained that. And so now we see that although God had sent the angels and sent the armies of God to encourage him, we have a basic lack of trust, number one, in Jacob's life, and also a fear of man. How many of us have been there? I have. Lack in trust in the Lord and fearing man. I hate the fear of man, but I go, God, I don't want, it's hard, you know, for a man, it's hard to admit that we have the fear of man, right? You know, that's why we get the big, you know, thing and the big sticker on the window, no fear type thing. Listen, the bottom line is, all of us struggle with the fear of man from time to time. And even the tough guy who thinks he doesn't. You get your buddies, you say, come on, you know, you're not cool if you do this. They go along with it. Why? Why do you go along? It's a fear of man. You want people to like you. It may not be a fear that somebody's going to beat you up, but there's a fear of man that's there. And Jacob now still has a fear of man rather than a fear of God. And one of the things that God wants to do in Jacob's life is to remove the fear of man and let it be replaced only with a fear of God. And so we see him begin to work in his life, putting him in a situation where he's not going to be able to depend on anybody but God. Notice he tells him also, "I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants, and I've sent to tell my Lord that I may find favor in your sight." So not only does he point out that he's his servant and he's trying to appease him by humbling himself that way, he mentions that he has all these animals and all these stocks, you see. And why? Because he's letting Esau know, I'm not coming after your stuff, man. I'm not coming after your stuff. I know I stole the birthright. I know I stole your blessing, but I've got lots. I've got all this stuff, so I'm not coming to threaten you. And again, he's trying to pull away any way that he might be seen to be resisting Esau or coming to take his territory. And again, we see him now in this really pitiful place of fear and concern and all, and yet it's the place where God knew Jacob needed to be if he was going to learn to truly trust the Lord. And for some of us, that's what it takes.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.